American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more, right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Wow, Met, fellow adventurers. We are playing as Sir Croakington, and we're just about to get the Wand of Dragonfire by undertaking the Blood of Zadzuin quest. One wintry night, the Goblin Clawin start the adventure. Here we go. Early one wintry night, quite a few years from now, in a familiar corner of the kingdom. The Balladeer reached down and placed the worn lute next to the leg of his chair and sighed. The crowd at this time of year, this time of night, in the common room of the Globbing Claw was notoriously thin. But this particular evening it seemed especially so. The great bearded man hailing from Triffic scanned the faces of the few who had faithfully gathered to hear epic tales of goblins in the snowy passes of the Fenuins, or timeless yarns about Seer and his magical sword Moonstorm, and suddenly wondered why he had bothered coming here at all. The trip from the Witherport wasn't either easy nor pleasant, and the swords he received from his fantastical tail spinning had long been on the decline. Perhaps, as he had grown to believe, the stories he told had been recited so often that they'd lost the magic that each of their carefully chosen words so readily conjured. The bard was a practical man, above all else, however, and he knew it was not the stories themselves that were to blame. He was old. Older than his own father had been when the winter claimed him nearly 30 years ago, and he was tired. He knew those who still politely turned an ear to his age-worn tale did so largely out of respect, or simply out of habit. He knew the truth, and it served to give him pause. Apart from those who had lingered about the inn both day and night, and who had in their hearts reserved a cherished place for the waning craft, no one had come to hear the tired tales of a tired old man.
"Pardon me, Mr. Talgrave," a sharp cloth at his finger drew the bandolier's grundering gaze from the blaze just beyond the hearth to the figure of a young boy standing to the left of his chair.
"Could we have one about Sir Croakington? My brother's never heard it, and I can't do it justice."
An even younger lad sat cross-legged on the floor a few feet away. The boy who posed the inquiry shifted uneasily, and already the bard realised he had taken too long to answer.
"You may have any tale that suits your liking," he said at last, smiling warmly, as he recalled the charm he was still capable of wielding. "But my fine young man, if it's a tale about Sir Croakington you're after, I pray don't need a bit more to go on. Numerous indeed are the stories that speak of her adventures. Is it the halls of the Wolf King? It's not the one about the Alder Throne, is it? What about the one where she becomes the..." "No, I don't think that's it. I just wonder how that sentence would have ended. The one where she becomes the..." So many interesting ways that sentence could have ended. The young boy smiled bashfully and blushed, shaking his head before turning away to share a smirk with his waiting sibling. "Wait just a bit. I seem to recall a young man about your age asking me about just such a tale last winter. Wouldn't happen to be the one about the Wand of Dragonfire, or would it? Ah, yes.
think that might be a fitting night for so cold, telling for so cold a night as it was in the dead of a fitful northern Titian winter that a particular counter begins. In fact, young man, young master, though I doubt at least you've forgotten it, that tale begins here, in this very whim, in this very womb, beneath these very timbers, in a season as bitter and terrible as the one that besets us now. Before the glow of the same fireplace, that no doubt cast its warmth on our brave adventurer some long years ago. The balladeer smiled, and for the first time since stepping out of his door in Trithic several weeks ago, he was remember to Rhaebar what it was that would always renew his spirit and forever endear his craft to his heart. 2 or 200, the number was not important. A king's court or the dim fire-lit con room of a ramshackle tavern. The setting was an afterthought. Epic sagas of mystical creatures and the undaunted heroes that pursued them. Or the half-remembered accounts. Pounce of nameless adventurers lost in some wild, lonely, wild nook. The stories themselves were small details. What matters most was there were tales to be told and ears eager to receive them. After taking a deep breath, the bard reached down and again took up his lute. Tonight, he would give them a tale to remember. 15 seconds ago, in the common room of the Goblin Glorin, the man you've come here seeking isn't difficult to spot. Seated at the furthest table from the fire, clad in at least 2 layers of unblemished furs, with his back pressed firmly against the wall, the rotund, black-bearded trader salutes you with a friendly wave. He motions for you to join him at the table and quickly calls for 2 ales. "I was told you'd be prompt," says Norek in a cordial tone. "Looks like you're well deserving of your reputation. I must say, of all I've heard, you're much the way I imagined you might be." Unsure whether the last bit was meant as a compliment or a side jab, you ignore it and ask him if he's bought the map. He nods, but makes no attempt to produce any evidence of the claim. The ales arrive, and he quickly empties his flagon. "I know you know the price for the map," he says, leaning forward and lowering his voice. "But I'm a man who's willing to negotiate. There's a small favour you might be able to do for me in exchange for it. Unless you're quite at ease with parting with your gold. Ask to hear one. Well, might as well hear." The shifty traver, with his eyes darting to all 4 corners of the room in rapid succession, leans forward and whispers, "There's a man just across the way here. Don't turn. Who carries in his pack an item I'm pursuing for more months than I care to admit," says Norok. "I've no doubt you might have heard his name before. If you could retrieve the object from me, I'd be willing to give you the map." You ask him what the item is, and he smiles. "It's a set of coins like this one," says the trader, reaching his shirt and producing a crudely hammered copper coin that dangles from a thin chain. There are 5 of them in a black pouch in his pack. They're no use to him. It's refused the offers made by a few others on my half. However, Sir Croakington, I'm a man who does not easily relent. Norok signals that it's safe for you to turn and look at the man in question. Your gaze falls upon a ragged, unshaven man seated on the far side of the room. Your pulse quickens as you come to a startling realization. The rugged, unshaven man, clad in a green tunic, a leather vest with a pair of small axes tacked to his side, tight leggings, is beyond any doubt, the recently famous adventurer, Trudungar. Alright, he's got a lore book entry. Over the past several years, in particular the last few months,
The bold woodsman and adventurer known only as Trugengar has risen to nearly legendary status due to a series of brazen exploits across the kingdom of Tysa. Most recently, Trugengar has been credited with running off a band of ogres responsible for attacking settlements on the kingdom's western frontier. The exploits of this woodsman and warrior have made him something of a legend in certain regions of the kingdom. However, it is fierce temper that has earned him the reputation of someone who is not to be crossed. Quite a fiery streak runs through that one, says Nomok, eyeing you closely. I don't suppose the likes of him give you any cause to worry, though. I don't care what means you use either. I'll swap the map for these coins he's carrying, and we'll call our business at the end. Okay, so I can attempt to retrieve the coins, or just stick to the original payment. Yeah, well, I'll try. It's something to do, at least. Figuring that relieving Trugengar the pouch of coins that supposedly sits in his pack would be a relatively simple matter. Despite the adventurous steely reputation, you agree to Normwork's bold proposal and immediately begin to construe how it is you will achieve that end. The trader seems thrilled you agree to it. And when Trugengar passes from his chair and strolls out of the inn, presumably to answer a call of nature, Norok grins and stabs his finger towards the door. So the goblin clawin doesn't have an indoor toilet, which of course makes sense, because there's a whole lot of stuff you gotta do to make an indoor toilet, you know, actually work. Because, we can put a hole in, but in the end, digging a hole, that's easy enough. But then all you'd have is a hole filled with shit. And then what are you going to do? Get the shit out? That's difficult. And you can't use plumbing because they're in the middle of nowhere. And we're in the medieval period where that the sort of mass infrastructure projects that would get plumbing to an inn in the middle of nowhere don't exist yet. And yes, there's probably maybe set up a little a pipe to drain it off or something. But as I say, that'll be a lot of work, so just saying go outside. And of course if it's an outdoor, I mean there might be an outhouse there, and then if that the hole under that house gets filled up, just move the outhouse a yard. Just move the outhouse another yard. When that fills up, move the outhouse another yard. When that fills up, move the outhouse another yard. And then probably after about 10 or so moves, the first one would have turned into regular soil again, so you could just cycle it back. Now's the chance, he whispers. I'll be right here, my friend. Paying little attention to what he has to say, you glance cautiously around the common room before rising and making your way outside to find the lone adventurer. As you step out of the inn, you're greeted by a strong gust of frigid wind, carrying swirling billows of soft white snow. The storm that assails you as you made your way into South Trod Glen has resumed with renewed intensity in the face of the bitter cold. Your first instinct is to retreat back into the noisy warmth of the inn, but that thought is quickly erased as your eyes fall upon Trugengar, standing alone at the end of the path leading down into the road. The adventurer appears to be gazing up at the sky, seemingly oblivious, or at least tolerant, of the deadly chill now settling upon everything. Realise your best and likely only opportunity to obtain what you seek from Trugengar. Alright, so I have three options. Attempt to bargain with Trugengar for the coins, attempt to take them from him, which admittedly, that might end badly, because now we've got a skilled axeman
who will be mad at us. And, you know, a person who's also, you know, a hero. So a lot of people would be really pissed off if I ended up having to kill him. And, you know, there'd be more ogres in the world as well. Because all the people that would have been saved by him killing the ogres will now die. So, yeah, can't really risk that. Attempt to bargain with Trungar for the coins. As you approach Trungar, who stands gazing into the snow-filled sky at the end of the path, the master adventurer spins to face you, his white hand to the hilt of his sword. Just as he's about to draw the weapon, a puzzled look passes over his face. "You're not one of Norok's roughs," he says. "You'll forgive my reaction. One must remain on guard with swine like Norok in the vicinity." He introduces yourself and you do the same. At the mention of your name, Trungar opens his wide eyes wide. "It's an honour to meet you at last, Sir Crokin," he says. "I'd often wondered that I'd someday find you here at the old inn." Wasting no time, you explain your current situation to Trungar, at least as much as you need to go, and ask if he'd be willing to trade you the coins. He seems somewhat taken back by your knowledge that he possesses the coins, and also a bit put off by your involvement with Norok. "Suppose I might consider it," he says at last. "But only because it's you, Sir Crokington. I would warn you, however, that a man you're dealing with is not to be trusted. No one is of any use to that man once they have served their intended purpose. But not to worry, I intend to have nothing more to do with him once I've got the map." Trungar offers to trade you the pouch in question for 5,000 gold. 5,000 less than would cost you to acquire the map from Norok, as originally intended. "So, I've got some options. I could use diplomacy to see if I can whittle down the price a little bit, presumably. I could just give him the 5,000 gold. I could refuse the offer, return to the inn, and have to pay the 10,000 gold to get the map. Or I could attempt to take the coins by force. Now that's rude, isn't it? Can't be doing that. It's very unheroic. Now let's just see what happens with diplomacy." Succeeded. After a brief but highly successful bout of haggling with Trungar, you manage to convince him to part with his pouch of coins for only 3,000 gold. "All right, well, that's a bargain. Pay Trungar 3,000 gold for the coins." You pay Trungar the 3,000 gold, and he removes a small black pouch from his leather pack and hands it to you. You loosen the top of the pouch and peer inside at the 5 copper coins nestled snugly within. "I have a pouch of copper coins. This crude black pouch contains 5 crudely hammered copper coins. Norok the Traber asked you to retrieve the item from the famous adventurer Trungar in exchange for the map to Zazuzin's lair." You thank Trungar for the coins, and he tells you he's happy to part with them, as he's found little use for them. He asks if he knows anything about the Sniffins and says he acquired them in Ogre's Lair near Charna about a year ago. "You say that Norok wants them?" he asks. "You must take care when dealing with his ilk, Sir Crokington, so I don't believe I need to caution you about such things. I wish you well on the road ahead." You return the genuine sentiment for turning, heading back into the inn. You return to the table is met with a broad and somewhat sinister grin from the shifty trader. Norok studies you carefully with his searching gaze, as if trying to determine success or failure of your task, without having to ask. You suddenly realise he would likely never know whether you actually obtained the coins from Trungar. "So I could keep the coins for myself, but that of course means I have to pay full price for the map. Now, it's admittedly these coins don't do anything. There's no suggestion they will do anything. I mean, if you're a complete You're a hyper-completionist who just wants to have an item so you can have it. You could then just store it in your residence and then have another unique item there. But I don't think I'm that much of a completionist. Or hoarder, yeah. Well, I think, yeah, that's more the term, hoarder. No, I'm going to keep some of my bargain and show them the coins, because they are of no use to me at all. Norwalk's eyes widened perceptively when he produced a small black pouch and set it down on the table. Reaches for it almost at once, but your hand comes to rest on the object, silently signaling you have no intention of giving up till the trader has fulfilled his part of the bargain. "Open it up, if you please," he says, keeping his eyes on the pouch. You loosen the top of the small bag and display the copper coins within. "A fine job of it," he says, grinning. Nomwek holds up his white hand, and you turn to see a tall man in a brown cloak moving up to the table. The man arrives at your side and turns to regard you with a nod, revealing a middle-aged bearded face. The newcomer turns and nods at Nomok before depositing a leather scroll case onto the table. Makes sense. Keep the map away from his person so no one can just, you know, steal it from him. Then, without having said a word, the stranger turns and leads, striding directly out of the front door. Nomok reaches out and takes hold of the pouch, grinning wildly as he peers in at its contents. Now, why does he want those coins? No idea. Maybe he's just a numismatist. He just likes having rare coins, because presumably these are very rare coins indeed. Perhaps they're the only coins of their type in the entire kingdom. In which case, I could totally understand. Stand a coin geek wanting to have them, you know, so we can finish the set or something like that. Nomok watches you closely as you take possession of the scroll case and open it. You withdraw a yellow furled piece of ragged paper and carefully examine it. The markings on the ancient map of fate, but you are certain this is indeed the item the Guildmaster described, and that will lead you to the long-hidden lair of Zadzuin. You note that the mark on the map is in the midst of a broad section of forest in the southern edge of Feynvale, in southern Tysa. Keep going back there, don't we? And we now have the map to Zadzuin's lair. This is the tattered yellow map you obtained from Nomwick the Trailer in Goblin Court Inn. The map details the location deep in the southern forests of Feynvale. A star-shaped mark in the middle of the bog indicates the location of Zazuin's long-hidden lair. "Everything's in order, I take it," says Nomwok, leering at you from beneath his heavily furrowed brow. "Well then, our business can be considered concluded. You may send your regard to our mutual friend in Trithic and tell him that is my opinion, should get out into the world a bit more than has been his habit." The trader rises from the table and bows before turning and heading towards the door. You watch him depart and are surprised to see five men in various locations throughout the common room falling behind him as he makes his way out into the snowy night. So presumably, if I tried to just yoink, If I tried to yoink the map, for one, he's not got it on himself. But so if somehow followed some glancing or something like that, or maybe used divination and thought, oh, it's that guy. If I tried to yoink it from the guy who actually has it, there'd have been the other five people would have noticed me yoinking and went, "Oi, hoi! Bad! Don't steal! Okay? Alright, if you say If you don't put that back right now, we're going to tell everyone in the Goblin Claw that you stole. And that will lower your alignment. I was like, oh, I can't be doing that. And then I stopped stealing. Or they could try to fight me. But really, I don't want to get into that. Don't want to ruin people's beer. You spend a mostly sleepless night in your uncomfortable private room on the second floor of the inn. Your half-remembered dreams and wary thoughts are plagued with thoughts of the journey that lies ahead, and what you might expect to find upon reaching the long-hidden lair of the legendary Zadzuin. At the first light of a bleak, frigid dawn falls across the warped planks of the floor, you reluctantly rise and descend into the common room, eager to attack a steaming mug of paleo and begin the long trek to Thanevale. I presume, since this is happening, this story is being told in this tavern, the parts that take part in this tavern are probably getting more focus on than they would if, say, it was told in a tavern in Trithic or Talonus or Trindmore. Or even, perhaps, I presume these tales become well spread, even somewhere in other kingdoms. Maybe even as far as Ashbeer. Alright, to Thanevale. The track from Sulphtor Gen to Thanevale takes longer than you would have ever anticipated. Inclement winter weather, coupled with the usual hazards of travel through the wider regions of the kingdom, bandits, goblins, and a pair of half-starved ogres, serves to slow but not stall your progress. At last, after having lost count of the days since departing from the doorstep of the Goblin Claw Inn, you find yourself drawing to within the final mile of the mark on your map that you hope indicates the location of Zazuin's long-hidden lair. Now, I assume in other tellings of this tale, told by other bards, they probably fill in this bit a bit more. They say they name the bandits we've slain, possibly hyping them up a bit. They describe exactly how I fought the goblins. And have an entire song about me fighting those half-starved ogres. Or maybe, I don't know, getting them some soup. depending on the audience. Find yourself drawing to within the final mile mark of your map. Final mile of the mark on your map, you hope indicates the location of Zazuin's long-hidden lair. The thick strength of forest through which you've trekked since leaving the main road that cuts through the Thanevale begins to gradually thin out as it nears an area of stony hills. It is there, at the base of a towering slope, in a remote, desolate corner of the Valley of Thanes, that you at last come upon the lair of Zadzuin. Set into the base of the steep, rocky hill in front of you, nearly 10 feet of diameter, is a massive stone disc. A thick layer of moss, dirt and grime covers the disc, which you immediately realise must be the portal that seals off Zadzuin's final hoard. As you step forward and begin examining the disc, you're beginning to wonder how you might attempt to reflect its opening, when suddenly all 7 of the wand fragments in your possession begin to glow brightly. Well, that's convenient. With all 7 pieces of wand of the wand of Dragonfire flaring brightly, you step back just as a loud grating noise rises into the air. A powerful tremor runs through the ground beneath your feet, causing you to stumble several steps to the right in a desperate bid to retain your balance. Leaning up against the trunk of the sturdy ash, you watch as the large stone disc slowly begins to spin, while simultaneously withdrawing into the earth to your left. After nearly 3 minutes, the disc disappeared completely, leaving only a massive dark hole in the base of the slope. You cautiously approach the opening and peer into the gloom. A broad passage of moss-covered stone extends out of sight into the darkness beyond the spot where the stone disc rested only moments ago. Without hesitation, but with your every sense alert for the first sign of danger, you move forward into the shadows. The moment you step into the gloom-filled passage beyond the spot where the stone disc stood, a violent tremor shakes the corridor, locking you off your feet. As you struggle to get up, you watch with horror as the stone disc swiftly spins back into place behind you, casting you in complete darkness and sealing you in this forgotten lair. As your trusty light source flares to life, revealing once again the mossy passage you had glimpsed for only a moment previously, your mind begins to churn with a host of nightmarish thoughts. Foremost of these thoughts is a sincere hope that you haven't just stepped into your own tomb. Alright, okay. It's probably gonna have the standard walls where you're stuck inside the dungeon until you solve it. No going out and resting. No be able to go all the way to Talonus, get blessings of protection and go back. No. You gotta do all in one go. Because, I mean, if you can't do it all in one go, you don't deserve the Wand of Dragonfire. It should be left to a more... You should die, and then the next more worthy hero will be able to pick whatever... will be able to find whatever bits solve the puzzle. Find the puzzle-solving bits from your corpse. And then use those to actually get the Wand of Dragonfire. That's the rules. We can't just be letting someone just go do 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 and just pick up the Wand of Dragonfire. This is the most powerful weapon of the age. We can't be giving it around all willy nilly. You stand just to the east of the massive disc of stone that has sealed you in this shadowy lair. To the east, the passage of moss-covered stone blocks extends out of sight into the gloom. So you can attempt to rest here, but there's no point doing that yet because I am fully healed. Alright, I'm starting in the northwest corner of the dungeon, and there's a passage right across to the east-west passage at the start. The massive stone blocks that make up the wall, ceiling and floor of the frigid, snaking corridor of Zazwin's long-hidden abode are covered with the slick grey moss. A fog of your breath clouds your eyes as you cautiously make your way through this strange labyrinth. Alright, I'm going to go as far as I can to the east. Alright, I've reached the corner, now I can go south. And I can go west, and there's three passages that lead up to a middle piece. What's this bit? The corridor ends abruptly to the west, and you're left looking directly at the strange verse carved into one of the massive stone blocks in the middle of the wall ahead. The verse reads, "Until the day this spell shall break, afflicted lives my soul. It splintered, sleep upon the stone, my blood to make it whole." Alright, so I've got to get some blood and that can fix the wand, I guess? Head back east, okay. And then southeast of there is another end. You're standing at the end of a broad corridor you've been following. Yeah, here seems particularly frigid. An eerie feeling, almost as if you're being watched, comes over you as you examine the end of the passage. Okay, can't seem to do anything here yet. Your cautious movement on the corridor was brought to an abrupt halt by the sudden arrival of a large mass of undulating slime. The formless, mindless predator whipples wildly as it surges along the passage towards you, sensing that the heat given off by your body and seeking to consume your flesh. It is a grey slime. And I go into battle rage. I've been walking. It took me several weeks to get here. I'm freaking exhausted and my feet hurt. And now you want to fight me? I mean, fair enough, but still I'm angry. The weaving mass of grey slime surges forward and attempts to envelop you. Yep. And slain. 6 XP. Following the demise of your slime, you take a few moments to check over your equipment before once again setting off along the passage. There are 23 grey slimes remaining in this lair. It is your benefit to find and defeat them before attempting to .. 23 grey slimes, three slimes wandering in the tomb. 23 grey slimes wandering in the tomb. And if one of those grey slimes meets its utter doom, there'll be 22 grey slimes wandering in the tomb. But we haven't done that yet. Yeah, maybe that. Okay, here's 22 grey slimes. Well, 23. Your cautious movement on the corridor has brought an abrupt halt by the sudden arrival of a large mass of undulating grey slime. The formless, mindless predator whipples wildly as it surges along the passage towards you, sensing the heat given off by your body and seeking to consume your flesh. Grey slime. And if this grey slime meets telekinetic doom... That was taking a while. Blasting with the force of telekinetic cake. You hope your opponent's attack has encased your leg. It's like, oh no! I need my leg for walking! A necromantic doom! Telepathic doom! You've slain this foe. Following the demise of the slime, you take a few moments to check over your equipment before once again setting off along the passage. 22 slimes left now. Now, I'm imagining that in the tavern in the future, there's probably a song like that explaining it. A song where everyone joins in. Possibly a bit better than that, though.
Saving money on exterior wall lights now at Menards. Find your style with Patriot Lighting. Exterior lights enhance the look of your home. Choose from over 50 options from Patriot Lighting. Now through May 19th, get $10 instant savings on a single qualifying purchase of $100 or more on in-stock outdoor wall lights. Check out our entire selection of outdoor lights and see the rest of our deals happening now on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, and this I've got to the western side of the three passages that converge in the middle. What's this got here? The corridor
Forests ends abruptly to the east, and you find yourself staring directly at the cryptic verse carved into one of the massive stone blocks at the centre of the wall ahead. The verse reads, "Accursed beasts now left to crawl these tunnels in the gloom. A place of peace, at last no sound. These passages my tomb." Head back west. Ugh, poor Zadzevin. There's so many years alone. Wandering these tombs. This tomb just all alone. Because he is not quite sure what he'll do if he ever met anyone else. So he's doing the only thing he knows how to do, keeping the monsters away from everyone else. Even if that monster is himself. And now, the passage that goes into the middle from the south. You're standing in a small alcove just off the main passage to the south. Against the north wall of this passage stands a narrow stone plinth. Head back. You can use an item here. Maybe those glowing fragments. Can I use the glowing wand fragments? Yes. You place all seven fragments of the glowing wand. Seven fragments of the wand of dragonfire on the stone plinth. And I could pick them up again, but there's something they can do here once I found some blood to make them whole. Okay. Here's another grey slime. Just going to quick combat that. While another verse of the song continues. Following the demise of the slime, you take a few moments to check over your equipment. Before once again setting off along the passage. 22 grey slimes wandering in a tomb. 22 grey slimes wandering in a tomb. And if one of those grey slimes should meet their utter doom, there'll be 21 grey slimes wandering in the tomb. And so on. Alright, now the passage is curled round. Here's another grey slime. Just quick combat. 21 grey slimes wandering in the tomb. 21 grey slimes wandering in the tomb. And if one of those grey slimes should be sent to their doom, there'll be 20 grey slimes wandering in the tomb. And so on. Yeah. Alright, the passage curls round on the western side. And then it goes along the bottom on the south. And now, very near, here's another grey slime. 20 grey slimes wandering in the tomb. 20 grey slimes oozing through the tomb. And if one of those grey slimes should meet their utter doom, there'd be 90. There's now 19 grey slimes wandering in the tomb. And so on. Honestly, okay, you've probably heard enough of that verse. You can probably infer the rest of them. I mean, I haven't got an audience, so it's not as much fun. Okay, so I curl around the southern side, going from west to east. There's an alcove to the north and an alcove to the north. You're standing in a small chamber just off the broad corridor to the south. A scattering of jagged shards to remains of a shattered vial lie in one corner of the room. Well, might as well collect them. Presumably I'll be able to fix the vial. Collect the shards of the vial. You carefully collect all the shards of the shattered vial, being very careful to wrap them up in some sort of, I don't know, a handkerchief or something. Anyway, something that means I don't cut myself on them.
because, I mean, if it's glass and it's broke, it's gonna have lots of sharp edges. I place them very safely in amongst my other belongings, so they don't break me or anyone or break any more. Shattered vial. Let's have a closer look. These are the shattered fragments of a vial. No particular description here. All right. And what's at the east side? You reach the end of the passage, immediately find the corridor filled with an enormous, undulating mass of great slime. Revolting, writhing mass of slime swiftly gathers itself into a tall wave and surges along the passage towards you. So I could hold my ground and face the surging mass of slime. But I haven't yet finished those grey slimes off, so I'm going to flee immediately. You turn and take flight along the passage, dashing to the west as fast as your wary legs would allow. As you reach the spot where the corridor turns abruptly to the north, you stop to catch your breath and are relieved to discover that you've not been pursued. It's another grey slime. Alright, that brings us to 18, so that's one quarter of the slimes defeated now. So I don't think we'll be able to do anything else. Wait, could I... There's another slime gone, that's 17. And there's another slime, that's 16, that's one third of the slime slain. And there goes another. Alright, that's... 15 left now. Can I use the shattered vial here? Maybe it'll fix it. And use. No. Head back south. Alright, just gonna wander around. There's another vial. Grey slime. 14 left. Alright, 10 down so far. And there's another one. 13, we're nearly halfway there. And that closes to 12, we're halfway there. We're living on a prayer. Take my hand, we'll make it, I swear. And so on. And so on. Whoa, and there we are. And, yep, and there's 11. Just going to wander around until I find them all. That's just how random battles work. Although, admittedly, it's probably less annoying than if they were, you know, you actually had to find them, because there'll probably be one left over that somehow managed to, that you'd somehow managed to use force magic on and somehow end up swatting it away to somewhere you can't reach it. Or something like that. Another grey slime. 7 left. We're most of the way there now. And then once I've defeated all these little slimes, I can fight the big slime. 6 left. That's 3 quarters done. 1 quarter remains. Another grey slime. Keep going. Grey slime. 4 left. 4 grey slimes remain. Won't take me long to find the others. And unless these... Nah. I don't think you planned it so that the rate of random encounters decreases when you have less slimes to find, because that'd just be really annoying. If you have to spend... There's a single grey slime remaining in this lair. It's your benefit to find and defeat them all before attempting to... Final grey slime. It's the final grey slime. We've beaten the grey slimes. Now to fight the big one, and then we can get some blood to restore the wand.
There's no more random fights left to go. Just the one to be found, to be found. And then I can use it to burn it, to burn in 8 skeletons. Because that was the final grey slime, to do do, and so on. Now, good. Now, I hope no copyright lawyers heard that. Although I think my singing was bad enough that there's no one who could possibly in any way mistake it for the original. Alright. Face the surging mass of slime, healing myself fully first. Hold your ground and face the surging mass of slime. The massive tide of grey slime surges forward and attempts to envelop you in its deadly, corrosive black grasp. It's a massive grey slime. The writhing mass of grey slime surges forward and attempts to envelop you. So if I hadn't defeated all the grey slimes, every grey slime that is still around increases its HP, increases your foe's SP by about 200 or something. So if you just rush forward and just go, yeah, smash, smash, smash now, smash the bad thing, it would probably be too tough for you. Because it's just got to have so much health. The writhing mass of grey fire surges forward and attempts to envelop you. Your opponent's attack has encased your leg in slime for 14 damage, and now I go into a battle rage. Gah! I just wanna get the wand! And so on. Your smasher wallops your foe for 8 damage. Keep going. Your opponent's attack has encased your leg in slime. 5 damage from that. As my walloper smashes again and again. It's nearly done. Swing my club and it is slain. 138 XP. Your final blow sends a series of wide ripples through the writhing mass of slime. Without warning, it suddenly separates into thousands of oozing streams that streak off into the shadowy corners of the passage. The terrified, mindless creature that long ago seeped into this desolate lair is, for now, gone. You stand at the eastern end of a long, broad corridor, resting against the wall in front of you, formerly obscured by the massive grey slime taking up resident here, is a tall, ornate framed mirror. The iron surrounding the mirror is badly tarnished, but the reflected surface it guards is clear on a mark. Particular item may be of use to it, the vial, I guess, because I just got that. No? I'm gonna get those wand bits. Maybe use those there. Pick up the pieces of the wand. Use them, so on the quick use list. Alright. I'll show the wand pieces to him, then whoever is in charge of this dungeon will know that I've... Okay, glowing... Where are they? Where's my wand pieces? Control F. Did I forget to pick them up? Or did I put them back again? Okay, let's try this again. I'm sure I had them, but maybe I just refresh. That seems to be in a bit of a sticky wicket now. Because the glowing wand fragments seem to have disappeared. Let me just try this again. Frag. Search for glow. What happened here? Well, that's a bugger. I might just have to rest here. You settle down to the corner at the end of the passage and set about getting some much needed rest. I'm fully restored. After a short while, refreshed and ready to proceed, you rise and prepare to once again continue exploration of these twisting passages. I seem to have lost the glowing wand fragments, and that sucks. Because I'm pretty sure I need them to finish the dungeon. Okay. I'm going to check some things. Alright, I'm just going to have to go through the adventure again. I'll go through it quickly and we'll meet back up when we've caught up. Okay, I'm back to where I was before. But now I have my glowing wand fragments. Time to show them to the mirror. Use 256 experience to general. The moment you hold up the glowing wand fragments to the mirror, the tall, sheer surface of the glass shimmers brightly, and the hideous image of a bent and twisted man, his features monstrously deformed, take shape upon it. "Seek that it will contain my blood," croaks the horrid and anticipated beast in the mirror, unable to turn his misshapen head to leer up at you. The vile figure in the mirror appears to be attempting to say something further when the glass surface shimmers brightly. When the shimmering subsides, the image of the twisted man is gone, and you're left staring at your own reflection. You can only assume that the figure you saw in the mirror is what became, or has become, of the legendary knight Zazuin. Alright, I've got to find something that can hold the blood, collect the shards of the vial, which I got in my first try. Okay, let's show him the shards of the vial. Yeah. The shattered vial. 384 experience to general. The instant you hold up the shattered remains of the vial to the mirror, the tall, sheer surface of the mirror glimmers brightly full, and once again the hideous image of a bent and twisted man, his every feature monstrously deformed, takes shape upon it. Without speaking, man in the mirror raises his garled white arm, and at once the fragments of the vial you're holding begin to glow. You watch in amazement as the vial reforms in your hands. When the glow finally fades, you're left holding a flawless, glittering vial. Let's have a closer look at it! This glittering vial is currently empty. The vial I'm going to use that now, so it's on the quick use list. The vial figure in the mirror appears to be tempted to say something further, when the glass surface suddenly shimmers brightly. When the shimmering subsides, the image of the twisted man is gone, and you're left staring at your own reflection. You can only assume the figure you saw in the mirror is what became, or has become, of the legendary knight Zazuin. Okay. Gotta fill that vial up with some blood. Alright, I'm gonna go to the other side of the dungeon, which just happens to be almost next to where we just were, down back to the southeast corner, but the other side of it. You're standing at the end of a broad stone corridor you've been following. The air here seems particularly frigid. An eerie feeling, almost as if you're being watched, comes over you as you examine the end of the passage. A particular item may be of use here. The glittering vial. Glowing wand fragment. 256 experience to general. You hold out the glowing wand fragment and immediately startled by a vicious snarl that erupts from the passage behind you. Instinctively, you spin around, prepared to defend yourself against whatever horror is stalking towards you out of the shadows. The figure lurching out of the gloom and into the glow of the light. Its light source is one that evokes both pity and dread. "Finish me!" growls the bent, twisted figure of the man, crawling along the passage towards you, his limbs protruding at odd angles from his emancipated torso. The shattered, tattered remains of what must once have been a splendid suit of chain armour hangs from his tortured shoulders as he lurches forward, straining to wise his misshapen head and cast his gaze upon you. You immediately recognise him to be identical to the hideous figure you twice saw appear in the surface of the mirror. The cursed remains of the once legendary knight, Zazuin. "Finish me! All this place will become your tomb as well!" he snarls, lunging forward towards you. You fall back and unwillingly assume a combat-ready stance as you prepare to heed Zazuin's startling command. Zazuin, he's cursed. I have to fight him, and it's sad, but I guess it's what has to be. And there is no subduing option here. Zazuin lunges at you, striking out with his twisted limbs. Your enemy deals you a brutal blow for 12 damage. You have slain your foe. 133 experience. Zazuin collapses onto the moss-covered floor of the passage. Slowly, with a great deal of difficulty, he turns his head towards you, revealing the hideous, disfigured face that ultimately drove him to the depths of his lonely lair.
"You must remake the wand," he gasped. "Then you must..."
Before you can utter another word, he emits a final, ragged breath and expires. You're about to move forward to examine his remains. Before you take in a single step, his twisted body begins to shrivel. You look on in growing horror as the misshapen, tormented form of the legendary knight turns into little more than a pile of ash-grey dust in the middle of the corridor. Although you can't be certain, you're haunted by the inexplicable feeling that something among your possessions has changed. Disturbed by the encounter with the cursed knight, and eager to move away from the location, you check over your equipment before turning and heading to the north. Alright, let's look at this glittering vial. It's now a glittering blood-filled vial. The glittering vial is filled with the dark red blood of Zazuin. How did it get in there? I'm not sure. But now we can use the blood to make it whole. It being the wand of dragonfire. Alright, stage one. Glowing wand fragments are on the stone. Next stage two. Use the blood vial. 512 experience to general. You remove the glittering blood-filled vial from among your possessions and empty its dark red contents onto the glowing wand fragments scattered across the surface of the plinth. You almost immediately, a fierce red glow envelops all seven pieces of the wand. You quickly turn your gaze away from the plinth to avoid being blinded.
Moments later, when the glow subsides, you look back to the plinth and your eyes fall upon the long iron wand resting upon its rough-hewn surface. You reach down and take hold of the Wand of Dragonfire! Let's have a look at it. This long iron wand, its surface engraved with swirling flames, is the Wand of Dragonfire, the powerful weapon wielded by the legendary knight, Zedzuin. Little is known about this artifact, because it got smashed by a dragon before it could really be documented. But now it's fixed. Realising at once you need to find your way safely out of this, oh yeah, that. You stow the wand safely among your possessions and prepare to set off on your way. Alright. Let's see if... Let's have a look in this mirror. Use the Wand of Dragonfire. 512 experience to general. The moment you hold up the reformed Wand of Dragonfire to the mirror, the tall, sheer surface of the glass shimmers brightly, and the image of a tall, chain-clad knight appears before it. You are free of this place, says the knight, whom you recognise at once to be Zedzuin himself, in an earlier, happier time. I pray that I may at last find peace in the halls of the Allfather, where I can once again look upon the faces of those I have known and loved. May your life be long, friend, and your trials few. With that, the image in the mirror shimmers and then fades, leaving you staring at your own reflection. All right. Now, Zedzuin, you can team up with the spirits of those 8 people who were killed by Durin Noll in the final combat. And then you can, become a League of Dragon Fighting Angels. That'd be cool. With that, the image in the mirror shimmers and then fades, leaving you staring at your own reflection. Okay, I can now make my way out of here. Or can I? As you reach the end of the corridor, the approaching massive stone disc that seals you in its dark lair, a violent tremor suddenly shakes the passage, nearly knocking you off your feet. The Wand of Dragonfire glows brightly for a few moments as the stone disc begins spinning and retreating into the earth to the wiser corridor. Convenient. The Wand of Dragonfire is what means you can get out. So if you don't fix the Wand of Dragonfire, you can never escape. But also, you can't get in unless you have the pieces of the Wand of Dragonfire, so it's not really, it's not a dire trap, which is why, of course, there was only slimes in there and no one dared, except perhaps Zedzuin. We're not really sure what he was. But other than very much in pain, as the disc retreats, the cold, blinding light of the midwinter afternoon stabs into the darkness. As soon as there is enough room to squeeze through, you rush out of the underground labyrinth that has taken you prisoner and rejoice in the fresh air of your frigid woodland surroundings. Your trek from the lair of Thaneville, out of Thaneville, and the last of Trithic is marked by foul weather, including a fierce winter storm that blows down out of the Fenderwynds and layers much of the kingdom in a thick blanket of snow. Despite the hardships of the journey, you arrive in Trithic sooner than expected and proceed at once to the Guild Hall of the Adventure Collective. The Guildmaster stands up from the cluttered table behind which he sits and welcomes you back. Before he can even ask, you present him the reformed wand of Dragonfire for inspection, as he requested at the outset of the quest. He studies the wand thoroughly for several moments, then hands it back to you. A prize beyond most measure, he says. You must keep the wand safe at all times, Sir Crokington, and you must be certain not to abuse its power, which is very easy because it has a lot of it. It is most certain that it is in some way connected to the curse that befell Dadzuin. You thank the guildmaster for the warning and tell him that you will keep it safe. After a long conversation with the guildmaster, interrupting him all the details, well, not all, of your recent adventure, you politely take your leave of him. He wishes you well and once again reminds you to keep the wand safe. With that, you turn and make your way out of the chamber into the guild hall's common room. Late one wintry night, quite a few years from now, in a familiar corner of the kingdom. The Balladeer leaned back in his chair and rested his lute across his knees as his wary eyes scanned the two dozen faces turned to him. Staring through the gathering gloom of the inn's common room, a gloom broken only sporadically by the fire's flickering light, his tired gaze fell upon the two boys whom the tale had primarily been delivered. The younger lad was asleep, slumped up against his brother's side. He had nodded off near to the end of the telling. The lad who remained awake smiled. The others, now turning and shuffling off to the door, or to the far corners of the room, had wandered in while the tale had already begun. One by one, they had found themselves captivated, at first by the warm, reassuring glow emanating from the fireplace, then by the carefully chosen words of a master storyteller. Those fingers had forgotten none of their familiar haunts. Along the worn frets of his lute, and those tongue waste to stay astride of the vivid scenes coursing through her mind, blissfully unaffected by the memory of 60 previous winters. The bard returned the boy's smile, and for a fleeting moment their eyes met. And in an instant, Sealar Torgrave felt as if he himself were like Sir Crokington, worthy in the eyes of that young lad of a hero's adoration. But how quickly remembered, and how quickly put such a dangerous notion to rest. The stories he told were not his, and they would always be there, waiting for another telling. Long after he and 100 more after him were gone. Tonight, however, the bard would secretly rejoice, waiting in the chair just a little while longer, bathed in the radiant glow of a fire, now freshly stirred to life by a farmer who lived just a mile or so up the road. A farmer who on this night, like all those present, had been taken on a fantastic journey, all the way from the common womb of the Goblin Claw Inn to the dark, twisting corridors of Dadzuin's last abode and back. Tonight, he had given them a tale to remember. And that finishes this adventure and gets you 3,072 experience to general, and 1,024 experience to all skills and powers. And that's pretty nice, especially considering we got nearly 1,000 experience to all skills and powers just for getting the pieces of the wand. Very, very nice. Visit the Guildmaster. Alright, I'll show him the wand of Dragonfire. Alright, converse with the Guildmaster. Wand, converse. A wand. dragon fire. Converse. Okay. I think that's that. Now, let's go see that wand in action. Move to the city gates. Have a randoming. Explore the realms at random. Explore now. Nope, that's the nothing message. It's a witherer. Begin combat. Now, let's show this wand of dragon fire in action. A deafening roar fills the air as a powerful breath of fire explodes from the tip of your iron wand. The enemy is consumed by the ravaging flames, taking 158 points of damage. And that's at the lower end of the amount of damage it can do. And in another 2 hours, I'll be able to use it again. That's 2 hours real world time. And it's just slain, and you get 5 XP for that. That was just a random foe. That's just showing it in. Just showing it in action. Now to save the game. Now. Can I do anything? If I return to the big dragon and his spirits, does anything happen? Nope, nothing seems to happen. Here we go again. Nope, doesn't seem to happen. Looks like the actually using the wand bit hasn't been added to the game. Oh well, maybe later. Maybe there are things that have to, stories that have to be told first. Or maybe you just forgot about it. Because I think everyone's just like, whoa, that wand is so powerful. And they kind of forget what it was for. What it was supposed to be used for. Climb stairs and exit the vault. Alright. And that is that. Back. So what shall we do next? Next is the question. What shall we do next? The silver shaft in near Twithic. There's a wattle down below. Yeah, maybe that. Or maybe it'll be something else. But either way, until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.